Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on Governor Eric Holcomb sending cease and desist letters to Reveal and the Indianapolis Star last week over reports he pressured a state safety inspector into reducing penalties against Amazon. A federal judge has denied a motion for acquittal for former Portage Mayor James Snyder, and Chris Nolte has a conversation with South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority Communications Director Erica Dahl. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. A federal judge has denied a motion for acquittal by a former Northwest Indiana mayor who was convicted by a jury in February of bribery and tax obstruction, but he granted a new trial on one of the counts. The ruling is a partial victory for former Portage Mayor James Snyder, who argued that he should be acquitted because of prosecutorial conduct and insufficient evidence. Snyder didn't get the acquittals, but the Post-Tribune reports that the U.S. District Judge granted him a new trial on the charge that he accepted a $13,000 bribe in exchange for contracts to sell garbage trucks to the city. The judge let stand the conviction on the charge that he hid income and assets from the Internal Revenue Service. You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson. Crews have begun removing tainted soil from an East Chicago site where a company plans to build a large logistics center. The $26.6 million remediation of the former DuPont industrial site in East Chicago began in September with the removal of trees from the area. The Times reports that crews recently began removing about 60,000 cubic yards of soil. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has approved a cleanup plan for arsenic, lead, zinc, and other contaminants. East Chicago Gateway Partners plans to build a 1 million square foot logistics center at the site once cleanup is completed. The site is near the Gary Chicago International Airport and major highways.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
Hoosier teachers looking to the General Assembly to boost educator salaries in the 2020 session should not hold out hope. Governor Eric Holcomb delivered the same message Wednesday legislators have been giving for weeks. Wait until 2021. Holcomb, speaking at an annual legislative conference, delivered a target for the state when it comes to teacher compensation.
I want us to be in the top three in our neighborhood in the Midwest.
But that's not happening anytime soon. 2020 is a short, non-budget session of the General Assembly, and Republicans don't plan to reopen the current budget to increase educator pay. Still, Holcomb says his two-year Teacher Compensation Commission, created earlier this year, is in the midst of its work. And he says that commission will deliver recommendations next year lawmakers can use in the 2021 budget writing session.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
Governor Eric Holcomb sent cease and desist letters to Reveal and the Indianapolis Star last week over reports he pressured a state safety inspector into reducing penalties against Amazon. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandy Smith reports a legal expert says those letters could signal an impending lawsuit.
Holcomb's letters tell the media outlets to retract and correct stories alleging he pressured a safety inspector to clear Amazon of involvement in a worker death. IU Maurer School of Law's Joseph Tomain says those letters could be the first step toward a defamation suit.
Before somebody files a lawsuit for defamation, they have an obligation to request a retraction.
Holcomb would face an uphill battle in such a suit. Tomain says defamation against a public figure requires what's called actual malice, meaning they have to prove the publisher either knew the information was wrong or recklessly disregarded whether it was true or false.
That's a very high burden. It is a constitutional burden.
Holcomb denies any involvement in the Amazon investigation. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Fishers Republican Todd Houston will be the next Speaker of the Indiana House. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brenda Smith reports Houston's GOP colleagues named him heir apparent to retiring Speaker Brian Bosma at a private meeting Monday.
Houston will serve alongside Bosma in the 2020 session as Speaker-elect, learning on the job before Bosma retires. Houston says he's grateful and thankful to take on the job.
The core fundamentals of running a house that runs functionally, that we deal with each other in a respectful manner, all those things, I think, from an outside perspective, I hope look very, very largely the same.
Bosma says he's confident the state is in good hands with Houston's leadership.
That important stability, I think, is really critical. And I am very confident that Representative Houston is going to bring that same sense of stability.
Houston is a senior vice president at the College Board, which administers the SAT. He previously served as chief of staff to controversial state superintendent Tony Bennett. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority Communications Director Erica Dahl.
Yeah, Communications Director for the South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority based in Hammond about a very important time of the year. We finished up with Thanksgiving. It's time to talk about Christmas, or maybe more specifically about a Christmas story. Well, maybe you don't know about a Christmas story. Well, I guess we could really be flippant and say, which planet have you been on for the last 15, 20 years or so? But that would not be true. It's an opportunity to learn a great story told by, I guess the best way to put it is, the city of Hammond's master storyteller. Gene Shepherd came up with this idea, and it was, of course, a part of a collage of things that he had put together years ago in the past, but in turn it ended up being a separate story among all of his stories that he's always told on the radio over the years that talks a little bit about, and I guess we can say, Erica, that it is, there's some truth to it. We know that there's fiction because Gene Shepherd's a great storyteller,
yes.
And he was a able to do that. But there's a little bit of truth, I suppose, in what he had to say about his life living in Northwest Indiana, since he's a native of Hammond. And he was able to portray that, I guess, with the help of some very talented people into what became the movie, which is now one of these presentations I get you get to see on cable television almost ad nauseum around the time for this year of Christmas time, isn't it?
Yes, it's very iconic, the whole story, and I have read the book. Mm-hmm. It's called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, and that was written by Gene Shepherd, and an excerpt of that became what we now know as the popular Christmas story.
Mm-hmm. From what you remember, for people that haven't read, now I have not read the entire book. I've read sections of it, but from what you read of Gene's story about Christmas time in Holman, Indiana, which we know
it's Hammond.
Wink, wink, it's Hammond. Yeah, what of that seems to have shown up? I guess at least that you could tell as the nucleus of the film itself.
I think it's just being. It's very Americana. It's set up to where the beginning of the book, he's kind of reliving. He's coming back to visit the area, and he's kind of just remembering growing up and just being here in the Midwest, the cold winters, the, you know, just everything. Everything that we experience even now, it kind of resonates throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of it's his perspective of looking back as growing up here. So it's very childhood, you know, what the, kind of the antics he got into, and his brother and, you know, his family and whatnot. So like I said, I think it's so Americana. It's so Midwest. There's a lot of people that I run into that I meet and maybe they haven't seen the movie, but most of the time, if they're from the Midwest, they have seen it. And some people realize that it's actually based on some true stories and, you know, some fiction. But a lot of times the people, when I meet them and they don't really know about the actual movie, they really aren't from here. And I think it's partially because maybe they've seen it, but it doesn't resonate with them. So I think that's what it has a lot to do with, you know. And we had the opportunity to, quote unquote, bring back It Came Home, A Christmas Story, the whole story.
Would the presentation that the folks with the CVA set up there at the Indiana Welcome Center in Hammond, would it be any different if it had been a case where it was not Gene Shepherd, the master storyteller from Hammond, Indiana, if it was just an interesting story that you thought, well, let's take advantage of this and bring it back and expand on it, which we know that it has been able to do so with all the great things that happened during the whole month of December?
Yeah, I don't think we would have brought it here because there wouldn't have been a true reason. So we actually had to hunt down these windows. They were originally displayed in Macy's in New York City. It was for an anniversary year of A Christmas Story. And we found them. They were in a warehouse in Boston, I believe, because they were also displayed another year in Boston. And they probably would still be sitting in that warehouse to this day if we didn't, quote unquote, rescue them.
For somebody who's never been to the Indiana Welcome Center, which is on Kennedy at I-8094.
Correct.
It's in Hammond. It's on the just mm-hmm. across the town line from Highland, basically.
Yes.
Just south of the interchange itself, actually. How is the Welcome Center set up for, I guess, three windows, which are the windows that you're referring to that you managed to rescue from the East Coast?
There's actually six windows. Technically, there's seven. We display six of them. We don't have room to display the seventh. Mm-hmm. One was commissioned later on. And so when you walk into the Indiana Welcome Center, first you're actually welcomed by the bronze statue of Flick outside.
That's right.
He's on the flagpole, so he's there year-round. Even without snow on the ground, people enjoy taking pictures. We have a security camera set up there, and we've time-lapsed it before and watched everybody go up to it and whether they want to stick their tongue on the actual flagpole.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, and they might be more amenable to do it when it's warm.
Yes.
I really hope they aren't touching it with their tongue.
Maybe their nose, and then clean it off afterward. There's a lot of people that come by and do that. But everybody has to stop and get a picture. That's what everybody's actually greeted with when they come there. When you walk in, when you walk into the exhibit hall, the first window on display is Higbee's department store, and mm-hmm. it's the boys looking through the window of the department store of all the hot Christmas toys that year, and you kind of follow the story of A Christmas Story as you go. The next one is it's called A Hero's Dream, and it is the Black Bart, you know, where Ralphie is trying to save his family from the evil Black Bart. Then you move on. It's Flick and the Triple Dog Dare, and that's outside of the Warren G. Harding Elementary School. The fire truck is there. Mrs. Shields, the teacher, and all the kids gathered around watching Flick with his tongue stuck to the pole. The next one is a major award, which is the iconic leg lamp in the window of the Parker home. The one following that is the Santa's Mountain. It's where Ralphie asks for the BB gun, and mm-hmm. Santa tells him he's going to shoot his eye out. And the last one that we have on display is the Bumpus Hound. So I think that's a really good.
I was talking about that with family members, even here just around Thanksgiving, talking about the turkey and all, and all the horrible things that can happen, you know. So we'll just remember what happened to Ralphie's turkey at one Christmas dinner, or would have been dinner, and of course that led to the best way to have a Chinese turkey.
Yes.
You know, how many people have had Chinese turkey? And it would be interesting. When you got a chance to get the displays together, how much work did you and the staff there at CVA have to do to get them refurbished and ready to put up the separate windows there at the Welcome Center from what you received? It was a lot of work, or were they just disassembled?
They're a lot of work. We got them in they weren't organized, I'll say that. So we had to rely on a lot of old pictures to put them together for the first time, and we've taken pictures since then. One of the displays is actually new, and we actually work with the theater at the center with their props department and their set builders to refurbish them. We just refurbished the Flick and the Triple Dog Dare this year. Mm-hmm. So they all now have facades on the outside, and they didn't used to. We got them as kind of an empty because they went into windows.
Right.
And they didn't have anything to, no structure around them. We just had to make it work for the first few years. It's not cheap to refurbish them, but we have a contract with Warner Brothers that we keep these up and we display them every year. You know, sometimes it's just some touch-up paint. I go through and, you know, we have to fluff all the trees. We fix the hair and the, you know, the scarves.
Yeah.
And just kind of wardrobe adjustments, I guess you could say. So it's kind of all hands on deck. We all go down there because the building of the sets takes so long. And then it's just that last weekend before we open to the public that we're doing kind of those final finishing touches.
Now, we should mention that the Christmas Story Comes Home, which is the entire presentation and all of the programs that go along with it that are held at the Indiana Welcome Center, started back in this past month and will continue on through the end of December there at the Indiana Welcome Center in Hammond. And in fact, we just had the first of the, I guess, the frequent movie showings of A Christmas Story. It was just the other day there at the Indiana Welcome Center. What kind of reception do you get in being able to show the film for folks that have never seen it on cable TV before?
I have not witnessed anybody that has come in specifically to watch the movie and they haven't seen it on TV,
yeah.
But I'm sure there's a few of them.
They probably want the advantage of seeing it in a larger setting,
yes.
You know, so to speak. You want to see it on the big screen, literally, you know, as opposed to the little one.
I think more people come in the weekend after Thanksgiving as well to see Santa.
Yeah.
Santa's there. We have the movie. We kicked off our events with Wag Your Tail Wednesday on November 20th. There are still two more Wag Your Tail Wednesdays, and that's in the evening, and people can bring their pets as well. It is open to families, so if you can't make it on a Saturday when Santa's there, you can always come in on a Wednesday evening. It's a nice option because a lot of times it gets pretty busy on Saturdays and Sundays. So this weekend we're gearing up for a major event and our holiday market, and that is December 7th is a major event, so there's a lot of activities for kids. There will be a pop-up market outside in a heated tent. Don't worry, we don't expect you to do your holiday shopping in the freezing cold. And the holiday market will continue until December 8th as well, and that's from 10 to 4. And we actually have a lot of exciting things going on coming up. And we also have our Holiday for Heroes, and that is December 5th. So that is right around the corner, 5 to 8 p.m. And it's just a special day that we offer for families of first responders, you know, military. A lot of times they can't come on a Saturday morning or afternoon, and we open this exhibit just for them in the evenings. Obviously, if they can't make it that night either, we're always, you know, we're here on Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then on December 13th, we have All Is Calm, and that is our sensory-friendly day for all families. Santa, he's usually sits on top of a replica of Santa's mountain, and there's a big red slide. And on this day, we accommodate everybody who might not be able to make it up the mountain. And our Santa's great, and, well, he's the real Santa, if you didn't know. But he's great, and he'll accommodate anybody at any time. But this day is specifically for families that might not want to come on a very busy Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very loud, and there's lights, and lots of kids running around, and so this is a day just for them. And we have two hours for them. We have a daytime at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then again from 4 to 7 p.m. because we understand that there's still families that, you know, kids are in school and, you know, they might not be able to come during the day. So that day is open, and I don't think we've mentioned, but the exhibit is free.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can come. You can visit with Santa for free, even if you don't want to purchase a photo. So come one, come all, enjoy. It's a fun time.
We're talking with Erica Dahl, who is with the South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority, about the ongoing through the entire month of December, the exhibit and programs and events entitled A Christmas Story Comes Home. And you can, of course, find out more on the CVA website if you'd like to check that out. But better still, just get the family together in the car and come to the Indiana Welcome Center, which is located on Kennedy Avenue, just south of 8094 in Hammond.
Yes.
And there's plenty of parking available for everybody to come by. And for all of the events, too, because I know that a lot of people show up for the not only for the events that happen indoors, but you've got the relay, the O'Fudge relay race coming up here on Saturday the 14th. So you've got basically a lot of people that are going to be outside if the weather permits, as well as
we have hot chocolate to keep everybody warm.
That's the important thing, too, to be sure. And later in the month, closer to Christmas, is the other one, not the other, but one of the other events that is tied very closely to A Christmas Story. And if you've seen the movie, whether you've seen it there at the Welcome Center or you've seen it on television, you can't have not noticed the Mama's Little Piggy Eating Contest. Tell us more about that.
This is very popular. It's fun. Everybody has their own cheering section when they participate, and all the participants have to eat as many mashed potatoes in an allotted amount of time without using their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So we scoop mashed potatoes, and they are warm. They aren't cold. They are warm. And we scoop them onto a plate, and there's a time frame, and they just dig in. A lot of mashed potatoes. We have to put plastic down on the floor.
I was going to say, it's a very, very messy event. You know, it's almost like pie throwing, I suppose, or it could be.
It can get very messy. Mostly it's on their faces. But we have different age categories, so we have an adult category as well, mm-hmm. and then the kids compete against the kids. So, and registration is available online at acristmasstorycomeshome.com. You can register for that, or just come and watch it. It's pretty entertaining.
What kind of reaction and comments do you get back from people who have come over to the Indiana Welcome Center to not only catch the exhibit, look at the windows that are up there that used to be in department store window fronts, as well as the events that happen in there, like the Mama's Little Piggy Eating Contest?
I always receive positive feedback, and some of my friends that do or don't know that I work at the Welcome Center for the Convention and Visitors Authority, I saw photos all weekend on their Facebook pages of their kids and watching, kind of running around the exhibit hall and taking pictures in front of the displays. And that's the idea. We want people to share with us. And I happen to see a lot of these extra photos, not just while I'm there, but through my friends and some of my family members that also attend. And I think this weekend one person said, best Santa experience ever. I come every year. We do see a lot of repeat people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, our Santa is amazing. He's accommodating. And, kids will always give him their lists, and he saves them, and he has them at the end of his shift before he heads back to the North Pole. It's just great to be able to watch children kind of interact and see that magic in their eyes, I guess.
Do you think that maybe there's so many repeat visits because even if you come once, there's a lot to see. And you can, every time you come back to the Welcome Center and look at the windows, you see something different.
Yes. And we also have decorated trees. We open it up to, it's always a first come, first serve, based on some previous organizations, not-for-profits. They come in and they decorate Christmas trees, and they're in the center of the room, and then some along the wall. And some people come just for the trees, and you can vote on your favorite. So there is a lot to do. There's a lot to look at. There's a lot to see. You can spend 15 minutes, or you can spend an hour and a half. It's completely up to what you want to do. If you want to make crafts or decorate a cookie, it might take you a little longer, color a picture, write a letter to Santa. There's definitely activities for everybody.
Now, if anybody wants more information, if they need to find out, especially the times and the events, and to sign up for the events like the relay race and the mashed potato eating contest, where can you find out more?
christmasstorycomeshome.com. That's the easiest way to find it, or follow us on Facebook, and we always post updates.
Erica, thank you for spending time with us to talk about everything coming up that's underway now in the month of December for A Christmas Story Comes Home. It's the big event and a display that is up right now at the Indiana Welcome Center in Hammond. You're listening to Regionally Speaking. With another edition of Eye on the Arts, here's John Kane with South Shore Arts.
Joining me for this edition of Eye on the Arts is Peggy Glennie, who is with the Hammond Community Theater and is directing a holiday show.
Correct.
Called Greetings.
Greetings, yes.
Peggy, have you ever been a guest here before on Eye on the Arts?
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.